Hi there to everyone at Great Shelford Free Church. Some of you may not immediately recognise me, but I am Maxine du Plessis and I have been your administrator for the past 20 months or so. I'm really sorry that I can't be with you in person this Sunday to just say goodbye and actually say hello to many of you for the first time. But it's a busy few weeks. So I've recorded this little video just to say goodbye and thank you for a really, really wonderful 20 months working with all of you. It's been a strange time, I think. The majority of the time I've been here in my living room working away from my laptop. It's been strange working so remotely, but also really positive when I've been in the office with Martin and Diana and Tilly and getting to meet some of you when you've popped in to say hello. So that's just been lovely. It's been such a joy working with all of you, working for Great Shelford. I've loved my role and the experience it's given me, the knowledge it's given me, and it's just been a fantastic opportunity to work for the church and help to contribute to the work that it's doing. I'm now preparing to go and work for the National Trust in their East of England office, and I'm really excited about this new role. It's been tricky sort of coming to terms with the fact that it was time to look for a new job. But God's been amazing in providing this opportunity so quickly, and bringing it so close to home as well. The office is a 5-minute walk from my house, so he's just provided me with the perfect job at the perfect time, and so I'm so thankful for that. So yeah, it's a positive it's a positive change, and I'm really excited to see where this new role will take me, but also twinged with some sadness as well. Just yeah, to be saying goodbye to this role and saying goodbye to all of you. So I wish you all the best. Yeah, thank you again for this wonderful time working for you all. I'm sorry that I have only just been a name on an email for some of you, but hopefully this video will just give you a little taster of what I'm actually like. And yeah, I wish you guys all the very best. All the best to Martin and the team going forward, and the new administrator, whoever that may be. And yeah, thank you so much to every single one of you, and God bless. Bye.
Well, it's lovely to hear from Maxine. I'm sorry if you never got to meet her in person. She's been a real joy to work with and a pleasure to have in the church office over her time with us. Just a few notices. Hope Explored, if you don't know about it, please speak to Diana and the team. It starts tomorrow in the building here and on Thursday evening at Cara Coffee. There's more information on the website. I also need to give notice of the election of the church secretary on the 16th of May. Gillian's willing to stand again, and I need to give notice in this service. We're continuing our series looking at being resurrection people, and this is an engaged worship teaching series that we're linked in with. So there's different elements that come into the service, into the talk as well, that are directly related to Engage Worship and some of their resources. So we're using it as a way of continuing the Easter story. So I don't know about you, but I often find you have Easter eggs and then you move on, don't you? But actually, it's just the beginning of something quite radical. So we're going to stay in that resurrection story for this the next 4 or 5 Sundays as we engage again and really think about what it means to live out resurrection lives. I think that's all the notices I'm going to say. I'm going to. Thank you, Colette.
A poem by Dave Harwood. While they were walking together, he drew near in disguise, quietly listening, unnoticed for a time. While they were talking together, he came alongside, available, interested, inquiring about their conversation. "Don't you know," they said, "are you oblivious?" He smiled, "tell me about it." So they did. And as they walked together, he quietly listened in disguise, taking it all in. And so they talked and he listened, nodding at the news he already knew, already understood on a much deeper level. And when they had finished, he spoke in disguise. And he took them back in time, back through history, the prophets, back through pain and trouble and longing, back to the dawning of a plan. And they stopped for food and they broke bread as they had done with them only a few days before. He lifted the bread still in disguise and lowered it as Jesus of Nazareth, the resurrected one. And as their eyes were opened, he disappeared. No more need for disguise, no more need to be there in that place. And so they ran back to their friends, no more escaping, no more fleeing. And as they told their story, he drew near again. And so it is so today. Jesus of Nazareth often walked close, in disguise, resurrected, listening, understanding, and available.
Shall we stand and worship together? Let us stand.
Shout to the Lord, all the earth, let us sing. Power and majesty, praise to the King. Mountains bow down and the seas will roar at the sound of your name. I sing for joy at the work of your hands. Forever I'll love you, forever I'll stand. Nothing compares to the promise I have. Nothing compares to the promise I have. Nothing compares to the promise I have in you.
Then maybe one or two want to offer some prayers of praise and worship.
Thank you, Lord, that whatever our week has been like, whatever our day is like, whatever our circumstances are like, you love us and love us all individually. You love us all together, and we're so important to you. And Lord, I pray that throughout today that we'll show how much we love you and how much we appreciate everything just for being you, Lord.
Father, we thank you that we can praise and worship you freely.
This morning, Lord, thank you. Accept our praise and worship. Amen.
Amen.
Please be seated.
Now it's time to join Dinah and Clive.
Well, good morning, everyone. We hope you've all had a very happy Easter, eating lots of chocolate or cake. Well, we hope you had a happy time, whether you ate cake or not. Whatever you were doing, we hope you were blessed by the presence of God. You ate lots of cake. I expect you did. That's not hard to imagine, because that's pretty normal for you. You also discovered a new TV programme. What's that? It's called Is It Cake? Oh yes, I've heard of that. I think it's on Netflix. Have any of you heard of that? It's a sort of game show where people have to bake and decorate a cake to look like something else. Like a burger, or a handbag, or a running shoe. Yes, and then the judges have to guess which item is cake and which is real. It's very difficult to tell which one is cake because they look so realistic. Well, it sounds a very interesting program. The contestants are very good. Sometimes it's hard to imagine that any of the items are actually cake. I think that sometimes we are restricted by our imaginations. How can that be? Surely our imaginations give us unlimited scope. Well, in theory, yes, that could be true. But in reality, we often find that we can only imagine things that are within our own experience. What do I mean? Well, for example, think back to the first Easter. Jesus had died, and his followers saw him buried in a tomb, and they all thought that that was the end of everything. No one imagined that he would come back to life, or that they would ever see him again, because that was something they had never seen before. That's right. Then, when Jesus met two of his followers walking along the Emmaus Road, they didn't realise that it was Jesus, because it was beyond their expectations. That's right. They saw Jesus. They walked with Jesus. They spoke with Jesus. But they didn't recognise that it was Jesus, because they didn't expect it to be Jesus. They couldn't begin to imagine that after Jesus died, he would come back to life again. But when they did recognise him, their whole worldview shifted, and the scope of their imagination was widened, and their expectations of what God could do was changed forever. And do you know, sometimes our expectations of who God is and what God can do are limited by our own experiences and by our imaginations. If God can raise Jesus from the dead, and through his death and resurrection, he can usher in a whole new kingdom on earth, then there is nothing that is impossible for God. And we need to remember that in all of our imaginings. That's more than even imagining cake in different forms. It is indeed. But I've got one for you. Look at this. One of these books is actually cake. No way. Yes way. Is it this one? Or this one? You don't think either of them are cake. Are you sure? You can't imagine that either of them are cake. Well, in a way, you are right. But you need to imagine things differently, just like those disciples did on the Emmaus Road. Because this one has got cake inside. That's amazing. We just have to see things in a different way. Yes, we need to think outside the box. Well, can we take the cake out of the box and eat it? Yes, we can. But we'll say goodbye first. So it's goodbye from me, and it's goodbye from Clive, and we'll see you again next time. Have a good week and be blessed.
Good morning. Before I lead our prayers of intercession, I'd like to bless our children before they leave us. So, Heavenly Father, I pray that you will be with our young people this morning. You will open their eyes, open their ears, open their minds, but most of all, open their hearts to what it is you have to tell them. May you speak through the leaders and helpers. Amen. Off you go, kids. Enjoy. So let's just take a few moments to thank God for what we have and what we don't have to put up with. Just in your own minds, just be grateful. Lord, hear our prayers. Lord, we voice our despair. We had hoped you were our victory. We had hoped you were our earthly leader. We had hoped you would remove the pain and sorrow once and for all. But then we saw suffering. Then we saw injustice. We saw blood on the ground. We saw death. And doubt swelled in our throats and choked off our praise. We had hoped. Risen Lord, revitalize our hope. Open our eyes to your victory. Amen. We'll now have a short pause where you can offer your personal prayers of intercession, either out loud or just in your own mind. God of all peoples and nations, who created all things alive and breathing, united and whole, show us the way of peace that is your overwhelming presence. We hold before you the peoples of Ukraine and Russia, every child, every adult. We long for the time when weapons of war are beaten into plowshares, when nations no longer lift up sword against nation. We cry out for you for peace. Protect those who only desire and deserve to live in security and safety. Comfort those who fear their lives and the lives of their loved ones. Be with those who are bereaved. Change the hearts of those set out on violence and aggression, and fill leaders with the wisdom that leads to peace. Kindle again in us a love of our neighbour, with a passion for justice to prevail and a renewed recognition that we all play a part in peace. Creator of all, hear our prayer and bring us peace. Make us whole. Amen.
Good morning. The reading's taken from Luke chapter 24, starting at verse 13. Now that same day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. They were talking with each other about everything that had happened. As they talked and discussed these things with each other, Jesus himself came up and walked along with them, but they were kept from recognizing him. He asked them, "What are you discussing together as you walk along?" They stood still, their faces downcast. One of them, named Cleopas, asked him, "Are you only a visitor to Jerusalem and do not know the things that have happened there in these days?" "What things?" he asked. "About Jesus of Nazareth," they replied. "He was a prophet, powerful in word and deed before God and all the people. The chief priests and our rulers handed him over to be sentenced to death, and they crucified him. But we had hoped that he was going to be the one who was to redeem Israel. And what is more, it's the third day since all this took place. In addition, some of our women amazed us. They went to the tomb early this morning but didn't find his body. They came and told us that they had seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. Then some of our companions went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but him they did not see." He said to them, "How foolish you are, and how slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Did not the Christ have to suffer these things and then enter his glory? And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning himself." As they approached the village to which they were going, Jesus acted as if he were going further. But they urged him strongly, "Stay with us, for it's nearly evening, the day is almost over." So he went in to stay with them. When he was at the table with them, he took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and began to give it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he disappeared from their sight. They asked each other, "Were not our hearts burning within us while he talked with us on the road and opened the scriptures to us?" They got up and returned at once to Jerusalem. There they found the 11 and those with them assembled together and saying, "It is true, the Lord has risen and has appeared to Simon." Then the two told what had happened on the way and how Jesus was recognized by them when he broke the bread.
Our second reading is from 2 Corinthians chapter 4, beginning at verse 7. "But we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. We are hard-pressed on every side, but not crushed, perplexed, but not in despair, persecuted, but not abandoned, struck down, but not destroyed. We always carry around in our body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be revealed in our body. For we who are alive are always being given over to death for Jesus' sake, so that his life may also be revealed in our mortal body. So then, death is at work in us, but life is at work in you. It is written, 'I believed, therefore I have spoken.' Since we have that same spirit of faith, we also believe and therefore speak, because we know that the one who raised the Lord Jesus from the dead will also raise us with Jesus and present us with you to himself. All this is for your benefit, so that the grace that is reaching more and more people may cause thanksgiving to overflow to the glory of God. Therefore, we do not lose heart. Though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. Since what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal.
Thank you, Charlotte, and thank you, Anne, for reading. Let us pray before we just reflect on those passages. Lord God, I thank you for the life-giving stories that we live by. Thank you for Scripture. Thank you for its transformational power in our lives. And I pray this morning, whatever state our imagination is in regarding you, I pray something of your Spirit's presence and your Spirit's light would help us to reimagine your truth and your love in our life. Amen. I didn't know Diana was going to mention that program, Is It Cake? Because we did watch it as a family. It's one of those programs, it's that bad, it's actually quite good. and it is really quite bad. But there's something in that trying to make something look like it's what it isn't. Imagination, innovation is around us all the time, isn't it? You see that in the new buildings as you go through Cambridge. There's new buildings popping up all the time. Someone's reimagined something, torn the old down and built something new. Families, you read stories, people relocate to new places, wanting to reimagine a new life, start something afresh. Entrepreneurs and social activists visualize a future that's fairer, better organized, more fulfilling, before they try and make it a reality. Sculptors look at a block of stone and say what Michelangelo says, I see an angel in the marble and carve until I set him free. As a family, we've also been looking at Dragon's Den. I don't know if you've ever watched Dragon's Den. It's hard as a family to find something that everyone would like. It's one of those shows, isn't it? You have this group of people coming in, trying to share their imagination with a hard-nosed bunch of multimillionaires. They lay it all out there, don't they? They've seen a problem, they've imagined a solution, and then they look disheartened because the guys with the money say, ain't going to make anything. And you notice it's nearly always, it's not that the idea wasn't clever, it wasn't very profitable. People come up with imaginative ideas. They don't always make the money. Maybe you have your own experience of failed dreams. Well, you put your heart into something. You came up with a new idea. You did something new and fresh. And oh my goodness, it fell flat. Your dreams were shattered. You just wished it worked. You wish that life choice, something you did, just went the other way. When imaginations fail, our hope can die. We might not be able to picture a positive future. Dreams can collapse around us. Like those people riding the elevator of shame in Dragon's Den. Are they going to stick with their dream, or are they going to do what the guys have said and don't put any more money in it, throw it in the bin? That's what we see with these two people walking to Emmaus. They used to imagine a bright future with Jesus, but now they talk about him in the past tense. We had hoped that he was the one. We had hoped that our dream would come true. In their grief and disappointment, they fail to recognize Jesus as he walks alongside them. To walk with Jesus before the crucifixion. At every situation, Jesus reveals a new truth about the kingdom of God. What an amazing experience to wander to a wedding, to see wine flowing, to see someone debate those religious leaders who had all the knowledge and win. Oh, the late night parties they would have had with Jesus, the talking, the building this amazing dream with him. Those disciples that stuck with Jesus saw something of that imagination of the kingdom of God, caught on with it and stayed with him. They ran with Jesus when others ran away from him. It builds and builds this picture of what they think Jesus is going to be. Then he dies in front of them. All that hope, all their dreams of something that could have been. Their imagination, their dreams had been replaced with confusion and with doubts. What a failed plan, what a doomed mission. What a poor reflection of the kingdom of God they had seen. All failed, Rome won, God lost. But that's not the story we read, is it? Because Jesus meets them in the mess. The two disciples were in some ways walking away from their faith as they walked that road. Walking away from the other disciples where they were, away from where Jesus had died and was buried. How do they talk to their family? How do they explain their journey, the mess that they've left behind? What happens when someone recognizes them? Oh, you're the two, aren't you? You're the ones without Jesus. I think unless you've lived through total devastation, it's hard to place yourself in this story. I'd suggest if you've experienced something of that real desolation in life, maybe the bankrupt businesswoman, the sixth time redundant person, the multiple failed pregnancies, the broken marriages, the failing health, the relentless depression. These disciples were lost in their pain and in their suffering. But even as they walk away from Jesus, Jesus still joins them and walks with them. We're misled if we think that God isn't interested in the messy parts of our lives, in our pain and in our difficulties. When we walk away, he is present, even though we can find it hard to recognize him. Psalm 139 says, 11 and 12, if I say, surely the darkness will hide me and the light become night around me, even the darkness will not be dark to you. The night will shine like the day. The darkness is as light to you. Even in our darkest times, Jesus stays alongside us, walks where we walk, talks where we talk, lives in the mess. Then in that conversation, the disciples' imagination is reborn again. You see, they had to come to terms with the fact that they were hoping Jesus was the military Messiah. He was the one that was going to overthrow the Romans. When they looked at the cross, all they could see was defeat. But on the road, Jesus transforms their way of looking at the world. There should be a quote on the screen for us. Ronald Rollheiser, I think is how you pronounce it, says, Jesus appears to them on the road, listens to their discouragement, and by restructuring their imagination and consequently their faith, he has them returning to their faith dream and their church on that same day, with the humiliation of the crucifixion now integrated into their understanding. Their imagination had been reimagined. not just go back to the old way. It's put the crucifixion, put the death of Jesus in that story, and suddenly he becomes even more powerful. As he breaks bread, Jesus gives them new eyes and gives us new eyes to see the world, new eyes to see his suffering and our own suffering, not as defeat, but as a path to a new life. You see, we are that God's work of art, the beautiful sculptures he's revealing are allowing our setbacks and our struggles to chip away at the stone-hard outer layers. When we do that, we allow something of the reimagining of God's future for us here on earth, for the church, for the world, a glorious future that passes through pain on the road to freedom. You see, it's this road of walking that is the best for us and the best for those around us to see what a Christian is really like. You see, there's only hope really in a failed Christian. There's no hope in a judgmental or condemned Christian, but in a failed Christian, people that know how to walk with God through the disappointments of life. Be great, wouldn't it, if we everything we wish for God made true, but he doesn't work that way. We are to walk as failed Christians. To close, I'd like us to reimagine something. There's another quote that'll appear on the screen by the same author. A little bit smaller this time. For all of us, there will come times when everything that is precious to us religiously will get crucified and we'll find ourselves discouraged, shattered religiously. This is not a crisis of faith, but a crisis of imagination. Deeper maturity and a more faithful discipleship are found on the road to Emmaus. When discouragement, in darkness and tempted, we let our imaginations be restructured by a deeper vision of what God, Christ, and church mean. I wonder if you can think of something where part of your faith has died. Did you have a dream that came to nothing? Was there an aspect of Christian doctrine, something that you'd hung your faith on that you reevaluated along the way? Suddenly it was a little bit shakier than you thought it was. Have you been let down by a Christian brother or sister? In what way do you feel like those disciples on the road to Emmaus, discouraged, confused, and beginning to walk away from what you thought was important? I wonder if you'd just take a moment to reflect on that. Bring how you feel about it to God. I wonder what situation came to mind. What discouragement or darkness or frustration came to mind? What if God could restructure your imagination about that? Everyone thought that the crucified Messiah was a failed Messiah. Jesus showed them on the road that the crucified Messiah was not a failed Messiah. I wonder now, in these few moments, whether you would ask God to show you how you might look at disappointments differently. How can resurrection imagination change your perspective on your troubled situation? And as an act of response, is there something that you know needs to die or needs to be reimagined. There's some crosses and some pencils up the front. I'm going to ask Lawrence just to play quietly in the background. If you'd like to come up and just as an act of just understanding, to write something on that cross, some way that you want God to transform you, to reimagine something of your faith or something of your walk. There's an opportunity now to come, collect a cross, write something on it, just as Lawrence plays. If that's not for you, then please just sit in the silence and we'll continue our service in a few moments. Lord God, for those who have written on the cross and those who have done so in their minds, I pray whatever reality, whatever disappointments, whatever challenge we're facing, we pray that there might be radical Spirit-filled transformation in these situations. But if not, I pray that we might see and live in the disappointments differently. We know your Spirit works and we know you do actively work in our world, but we can't seem to flick it on with a switch. And whether there's radical change or whether there's radical change in us, I pray either way something of your kingdom and something of your power would be evident. And I thank you for the power of the empty cross, the risen Christ, the resurrected Christ who walks with us on our roads, wherever we find ourselves. Amen. Thanks, Lawrence.
Shall we stand together? Thank you. Just take a few moments there again to reflect on the challenge for Martin and those words of faithful one. We come to our final song. We can sing with great joy and confidence and just enjoy praising together. Amen.
My God, the old has gone, and the
Lawrence. Thank you, everyone. We're going to do a closing liturgy. It should appear on our screens. Let's just give it a second to make an appearance. God sends you out to be his resurrection people. Jesus, who was dead, is now alive. He opened our eyes to see him. Jesus restructures our imagination. Help us see the world his way. Our hearts burn with passion in his presence. We are sent out as his witnesses. God sends us out to be your resurrection people. Amen, and God bless you.